Everybody.
Hi, Ryan.
As those of you who were here last week may have heard, we are doing a series on messages. There we go. This one does not have a weird click. Okay. Yes, we're doing a series this month on trust and trusting God. And so that's kind of what I'm going to be speaking about, what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. But let's just start by praying to God. Because that's a good thing to do. Yeah, so Father, I just want to come to you tonight and just, I ask that as I speak, the message that you've kind of given me to share tonight, that your words would be what comes out of my mouth, and that the message that you want to get across would be the message that people get. And I just ask that the Holy Spirit, you would just be in this room, that you would be working in me and working in everybody's head that here as they hear it. Yeah, and you take control of this message and the rest of this meeting. Well, you've already taken control of this meeting, but continue to take control of this meeting. Amen. All right, so trust. I'm just going to start off by saying there's two main things I want to get across tonight. The first thing is that God is God. And that pretty much means that if God is God, he is who he is, which is, I know, kind of a vague thing to say, and I will get into a little bit more of that a little bit later. But God, because he is God, when you trust him, he is the only thing that you can trust him, or the only person you can trust him, that will not fail you on some level. Everything else that we would depend on, it's a little list of things which aren't even that great of things. But simple things like every morning, well, most people wake up to an alarm clock and you just kind of begin to depend on that. But how many times in your life have you woken up and realized, oh my goodness, it's well past my alarm. Why didn't my alarm go off? A simple thing, but we do trust in that every morning will wake us up. And then when it doesn't, you wake up and you're frustrated and you're angry and you're like, what happened? You have things like the TTC, which is supposed to run on time. And I think we all know that the TTC does not really run on time, but we still have a certain level of trust. Well, it does run on time, just not all the time. But we have a certain level of trust that the TTC is going to be there when they're supposed to be there and they're going to get us from place to place. They're definitely not perfect. They're not the greatest. Central service here on Sunday nights. You expect if you come here at 6 o'clock, I know a bunch of you are new, but you didn't know, if you were new, you thought that we were going to be here at 6 o'clock. You were told probably that we were going to be here at 6 o'clock. And you came here trusting that we were going to be here at 6 o'clock. And we will be. However, every once in a while, like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we didn't have service here at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. So even your friendly neighborhood church is not 100% dependent upon. And even just things like even trusting in our own hard work and like our own effort. Like when we go to university, we kind of go there assuming that if we put in all this time, we put in all this hard work, we're going to end up with a degree. And once we're graduated and we're out in the real world, we're going to be able to use that degree to get a job and create a living for ourselves. But even that, sometimes people get degrees and they're like, oh, now we're going to find a job with this. And you end up sitting around. Not you. You guys are all blessed. You will all have jobs when you're done with your degree. But sometimes people get that degree and then they just kind of sit there like, oh, what was the point of this? But when you trust in God, He is infallible. Like, it's kind of like the Everlasting God song we sang today. Like, he doesn't grow weary. He doesn't. There's nothing that goes beyond what he can handle and what he can do. But yeah, so I'm going to kind of tell you guys a story, because that's what I tend to do, is tell stories. And we're going to talk about basically a 10-year realm of my life. We're going to do it in a way that is very overarching, because that's what the story is. basically, there was a point in my life as a teenager where it was really easy for me to trust God when I was quite young. Call it high school, call it early college, university. I was pretty idealistic. I had all of these great dreams and plans, like I was going to be this amazing worship leader that touched the nations, a revival was going to break out in my home church and in my home community, and my church was going to get so big that I would just be able to, you know, do church stuff all the time, and I wasn't really going to have to worry about life. So I went to university, I was just kind of like, oh, it doesn't really matter, I'm just doing this. And, like, eventually, I kept going to university, and I stopped going to university. And nothing was really happening the way that I thought it was going to. The dreams I had, the worship leading, like I was leaving at home, but it wasn't really going anywhere. My church was kind of in a cycle of difficult growth, I guess would be a good word for it, where we were learning how to really just be in the presence of God and not have expectations, which is a difficult thing to do sometimes. And on top of that, there's also the fact that my mother, who was going through a lot of health issues, around the time, like about a year and a half after I graduated, she started having seizures, and she found out that she had a brain tumor. And there was about 7 years of ups and downs with that. And so throughout all of this, like I went from being a trust God with everything to like a few years later being like, well, God, I'm not really seeing what I wanted to see. I'm not really seeing what I was expecting to see. Not only have all these dreams and ideas that I had not really come to be, nor did it seem like they're going to come to be, but now I have this whole issue where my mother is in the process of dying, which is not a good thing, nor a fun thing. And I ended up being done with university. I worked at a restaurant for like 8 years while I was in school, a little bit afterwards, parade for restaurant workers. After that, I went on to a career job in computers, which I absolutely hated and sucked my life dry. And I just really, basically, I reached the point where I was like, God, I trusted you, but now I'm not seeing it, so I found it really hard at that point to continue trusting him. And when I was in that state, it was kind of a point where I kind of gave up my future, if that makes sense. Like, I stopped hoping because I stopped depending on God. I just thought it wasn't going anywhere. So I started focusing on what can I do to keep myself busy at the moment, and what can I do to steal my attention at the moment. And when you're not trusting in God, it's really easy for some people to do that. Because suddenly you don't have this base that you can depend on. So rather than deal with that, you just go hide in this corner with this video game, or with this book, or with this movie, or hey, go over here and go out with friends and hide doing whatever out on the streets and whatnot. I say the streets. I'm from northern Michigan, which is really tiny. Like, I drive 45 minutes from my house on the edge of nowhere to go to the big city of, like, 25,000 people. So, it's a really beautiful, cool place for a city, but it's not big. So when I say out on the streets, I don't really mean, like, out on the streets. I don't know what I just did. Okay. Moving on. I kind of reached a point after like a couple years of that, like it all kind of came together for me, quite frankly, in the season where my mom ended up passing away. And I kept pulling away more and more, like the closer my mom kind of got to death. And it reached a point where because of the brain tumor, she was stuck in her bed. She couldn't really move, and by the last month or two, she couldn't really talk. And so, rather than like being there and being close to her, I kind of just stayed away as much as possible, because really to deal with my mother meant that I had to deal with God. And like once I felt like my hopes and dreams had been kind of taken away, they weren't there anymore, rather than just going to God with it and dealing with God, I ran away, like I said. So to come back and actually to like sit there in my mom's presence and to sit there and see her, really just a fraction of a person laying in their bed, meant that I had to come to grips with reality, and if I came to grips with reality, then I had to come to grips with God. And that meant I had to come to grips with myself, which is three very difficult things. And yeah, and the morning, or the afternoon, my mother died, it was a nice cloudy autumn day. When I say nice, it wasn't really nice. But. And my mother passed away, and I sat around with my father and brother for a little bit. And we were all unhappy, of course. And eventually I was just like, all right, I am going to leave. Because that's what I did. I went away. And so I was like, Dad, I'm peacing out. I'll see you later. Good luck with all the stuff you need to deal with right now. And I got in my car, and I went for a nice two-hour excursion through the wilderness in northern Michigan. And even though I was running away, it was kind of like while I was out running around, rather than running away from things and running away from the situation, which is where I thought I would end up having to confront God. By running away and running out, I ended up running into God, because he just kind of met me there while I was driving. And it was, yeah, while I was driving, he just kind of met me there, and he told me, hey, Ryan, by the way, I love you. And where you are right now is exactly where I want you to be. And when he said that, I just kind of sat there for a little bit, and it was like there was this choice before me. Like, I could accept this. I could accept that God loves me even in this situation where my mother has just died, like an hour before. And accept that he loves me. Accept that this situation that I'm in, like, where my heart is in this moment is right where he wants me to be. I can accept that. Or I can accept the fact that the situation sucks and I don't want to deal with it because it's not where I'm supposed to be. And the two didn't really go together. Like, either God was in it or God was not in it. And if God wasn't in it, then basically it was a crisis of faith, I guess you could say. But maybe it's just because of the way I was raised. Maybe it's just because I had met God so many times before that. But like, when it came down to that point, I knew that God is love, that he did love me, and even though the situation sucked, that God is bigger than that situation. And even though I felt like all of my trust had been given to him and he gave it back to me empty, I knew that God doesn't give back trust empty. Like, he doesn't not come into that situation. And basically from that point on, I can't tell you that my life was suddenly so much happier and so much better. Like, obviously my mother had just died. Having this crisis of faith and then coming out of it trusting God did not mean that that was okay, or that was better. I still was working at a job that sucked my life out of me, and that was not fun and that was not good. I still had dreams and aspirations that I had no real way of getting to, no real way of really even hoping for, other than the fact that I could say, you know what, God? Even though I don't understand any of this, I trust you, and I trust that you're going to get me through this. And, I mean, that kind of, I guess, is the difference from where I was to where I came to. Like, I wish I could tell you that, like, the situation, obviously, it sucks. And my logic of saying, yes, God is good, God is love, might not be enough to get some of you through that situation. And I wish there was a way I could just instill, like, the gift of faith, I guess, that God has given to me into you. And, yeah. I think, actually, that is part of what Holy Spirit wants to do tonight. I'm going to read a quick verse, a couple of verses from Romans. Romans 5, verse 3 says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are to help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given to us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And that, Holy Spirit, just come into this room right now. Come deeper, come thicker. Come and touch every heart that's in me. I just pray right now, or I don't even pray, if there's anybody in here who has not experienced what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit or have the love of God put in you, be this, you've never accepted Jesus and had the Holy Spirit come into you in that moment, or whether you just have never felt God even just in passing or anything like that, I really feel like God wants to do that tonight and to deal with that. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite any of you who have never put your trust in Jesus for your eternal salvation and for your life in general. Because when you accept Jesus as a Savior, you're not just accepting him as a key to eternity. He is that, but he is here to bring salvation into your life even now, where you are. And if you've never done that, even if you don't even quite know what that is, I just want to encourage you, if you've been there, or if you want to do that, if you want to accept Jesus, if you want to place your trust in him, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And if you want to do that, you can feel free to do that. And we will pray. And I will tell you that putting your faith in Jesus like that it seems scary. And when you do it, it's like all the weight that you're carrying is coming right off. Well, we're just going to go ahead and say a prayer. And if everybody in the room can repeat after me. So Jesus, I place my faith in you tonight. I trust you with my life and my plans. I trust you to lead me even where I may not think that was an odd phrase. Jesus, I trust you to lead me. I trust you to lead me where you want me to go. And I trust that where you want me to go is the best place. Jesus, I accept that you died to have a relationship with me. And I take you as my Savior. And I also just want to pray, if you guys all could stand up now, that would be great. I just want to pray over you guys as a whole, just for an impartation of faith and trust. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just come into this room again. Yeah, Father, I just pray that you would impart the gift of faith into every one of us tonight. And I pray that when we go out of here, Lord, that even just with the little things, Lord, like getting bills paid, which may not seem like a little thing, but Lord, in the grand scheme of things, Lord, that even the little things like that, we would just have trust that you will come through, that you will see us, Lord, that you will see us through even the toughest of times and the easiest of times. And I just pray, Lord, for anybody who's going through any situations, that. That may be similar to like my family sort of work, where people are ill and things don't look good. I just ask that you would impart faith to them. Lord, faith that like, you are a God of love, and Lord, that you are a God of healing even. That the course that you set is a course that is full of your love. I feel like God also is going to, like right now, I just want you all to ask God for a moment where you feel like he's broken trust with you. Yeah, that just came to mind. And if you're thinking about it and whether it really just came to mind, then you're already thinking about it and you've already got it. Yeah, and I encourage you to just offer that moment up to Jesus and say, Jesus, where was your faithfulness to me during this moment? This moment where I feel like where you let me down, will you show me how you were faithful in this moment, despite my view of the situation? I'm sorry for blaming you. Father, forgive me for putting my own expectations above yours. Father, I release you now. feel like one of you is really struggling with the loss of a sister. And God wants you to know that it wasn't by choice that she was taken. It wasn't a plan of His that took her from Him. And that He used that as an item in your life to help bring you strength. But it wasn't His choice to do that. I just really feel like when it happened and it crushed your heart, like God was there, that His heart was crushed right along with yours. And that when you were crying, He was crying with His arms around you and over you. I just want to pray over any broken or lost dreams in this room tonight, too. Yeah, Father, but I pray that even the dreams of sports or professional sports or of musicianship or even accounting, Lord, that all the dreams that we have held inside, the impossible dreams, Lord, that we just haven't seen a way to get to. And Lord, that we may even feel like You've taken away from us. But I just want to speak life into those dreams. And Lord, I want to speak life that comes when we trust in You for those things instead of ourselves. Father, we trust in You tonight. We have our faith in You, Lord. We declare that those dreams are ours and that we have them because You can make the impossible happen in our lives. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Well, that concludes our Sunday service. If you are in a moment with Jesus, feel free to stay in that moment. But if you are ready to go, feel free to pull up your chair and put it back up on the wall. I don't know what time it is, but we need to be out of here by 8 o'clock. So feel free to be out of here by 8 o'clock.